Good morning. We're going to continue our study of the original book of Mr. Goldsmith called The Infinite Way. And we're on the second half of the chapter, Our Real Existence. And if you remember, he began it with Our Real Existence is as spirit. Some seekers may not understand what we mean by this, but only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit do we drop the false sense of life as material. Now, to continue, there is no mystery about the inner life except the mystery of godliness. Every thinker is concerned for his welfare, the welfare of his family, community, for his country, or even for the world. Experience soon convinces him that there is no hope for mankind in the people or the powers of this world. Men are too selfish. Well, I've certainly seen plenty of that in the news lately, with all of the fraudulent spending and getting of federal funds. Men are too selfish. On the whole, they are too concerned for their own interests to be wholly unselfish in their attitude toward the world. We can see that in other areas too. The war in Ukraine, Russia is trying to annex that country and turn it back into part of the USSR. It's a mess. However, if you attain this consciousness, which he's about to talk about, well, things are different, very different. To continue, he says, politicians rarely rise any higher than self-seeking. The occasional statesman is lost in the picture. Here and there in the world, there are those inspired men and women who long for the day, the dawn of the day of the brotherhood of man. Their hearts ache at the constant ridicule of men of goodwill, and at the ever-recurring success of the power-drunk, or money-mad, in each succeeding generation. These noble people of vision are buffeted between their hope for the progress of mankind and the realization of the futility of overcoming the forces of evil operating in human thought. Eventually, the same question comes to each one. Is there no power to stop this reign of evil, to halt wars, prevent famine and pestilence? Is man helpless before the four horsemen? I remember having these thoughts, these feelings, way back in the 1960s, and in the midst of the Vietnam War. The search for freedom from the trials and tribulations of human experience has begun. It is really a search for God, and it begins at whatever place in consciousness the individual may find himself. That period in my life, I was studying Eastern philosophies, Zen Buddhism, to name one, and I was reading books like Be Here Now and I was reading Alan Watts and those fellows. Anyway, I was searching for God. If he has a deep religious sense with a church background, he may seek the power in religious worship. At that same time in my life, I met a fellow. I was interested in a certain girl, and she invited me to a church service. And since I wanted to be next to her, I went. And they had this special guest in there giving a talk. And he was what I guess they called born again. He had been in a rock and roll band which opened up for the group called Steppenwolf. Born to be Wild, Magic Carpet Ride, all that. And so he got my attention because I liked that record. I had it. And he told his story, and I could see. I looked in his eyes. He was telling the truth. He had found an answer. And so when he was done and everything started to break up, I went up to him. And I said, "What did you do?" And I meant it. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a little card. Like a business card, but it wasn't a business card. It was a card with a prayer on it. And you were supposed to pray this prayer to Jesus. And turn your will and your life over to the care of Jesus. So I took the card and I went home and I snuck out to the garage and I said that prayer the most fervent that I could. Well, I waited about 5 minutes, maybe 10, and nothing happened. I said the prayer, I meant the prayer. Nothing happened. Now, if something had happened, if I had a spiritual experience right then, I'm pretty certain I would have been back in church the following week. I would have been born again. But nothing happened, at least not right then. So I went back to studying the books, Spiritual Principles, according to Buddha. The intellectual will undoubtedly seek this power in the realm of philosophy or in one or another of the philosophical religious teachings. I began to read authors like Emmett Fox, who wrote the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments, and talked about metaphysical principles. I got a hold of a 6-volume set, which was called Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. And then I continued to study metaphysics. In more recent times, the search may turn to the metaphysical church teachings, and I got a subscription to Unity, the magazine that they put out. I forget the name of it now, Daily something. Or yoga practices, and I never did turn to yoga. Without a doubt, many go from one to another of these steps, still seeking God or the power which may eventually halt the reign of mortality. Well, right about this time I met Don, who was my first teacher. He gave me a copy of The Art of Meditation. I took that book home and I studied it, and something about it felt just so right that I dropped all the other teachings. One day something happens within. Consciousness expands and sees that which before was invisible. One feels a glow of warmth, a presence never before known becomes tangible, very real. I was sitting in my chair one evening with practicing the presence in my lap, and I had read a little bit, and I closed my eyes, got quiet, and started to meditate. Suddenly, I felt a presence right there with me in the room. It touched me on the side of my face. There was a tingling sensation within and without. And that was the first time I ever consciously felt this presence. This often is a fleeting experience. One may not even be certain that it occurred. It lingers in memory, but more as a dream than an actuality, until it happens again. And it did happen again, and again, and again, this time more clearly, more definite, and perhaps lasting longer. Gradually, there dawns in consciousness the realization of a presence always present. Yes, it becomes a working part of the mind. I was consciously aware of this presence. And there was never a day that went by that I did not feel this presence at some time during the day or night. This presence may be felt as if lurking in the background of one's consciousness. At times it becomes a very commanding presence, dominating the scene or experience of the moment. Now he's going to describe to you what it's like after you have been following this path for a good while, a couple of years anyway. Now, however, evil is becoming less real. Sickness is not so acute. Financial stress or even lack gradually gives way to sufficiency. Concern for oneself disappears, as every need is met without taking thought, or planning, or worry, or fear. Yes, the added things are taking place. The people, or powers, which heretofore have been feared now fade from view, and either disappear from one's experience, or else are seen for their powerlessness. Yes, as you're walking this way, and you know that there's a presence, and that that presence will guide you, you know that you're never alone again. You know, wherever I am, God is. And it's very wonderful. Really, it was the thing I was looking for in all those books. It was the thing I was looking for in all those drugs. It was the thing I was looking for in all those girls. I was looking for thee. For my father and yours. And so having found it, well, let's see what he says. Desires become less acute. Fears evaporate. Assurance, confidence, alertness, keenness, these become evident not only to oneself, but to those who are met and dealt with in everyday life. This inner presence becomes an inner power. From an occasional experience, it becomes a constant awareness, which answered the question for me, how in the heck do you pray without ceasing? I have things to do. Well, praying without ceasing does not mean sitting down in a chair and praying or meditating. Yes, it means having short periods, a minute or two or three, throughout the day and night if you awaken. And it means you have the constant awareness of this presence. Forces of pain and pleasure in the outer experience diminish. Well, we don't mind if the pain diminishes, but are you going to take our pleasures? Are we to be a boring little scrap of paper? No, you are mistaken. Forces of pain and pleasure in the outer experience diminish, whereas one becomes conscious of inner powers, which are real, and which produce and govern the outer life harmoniously and fruitfully. Now, the best way I can describe that is I had a job, I was working in a factory, and it just didn't feel right. It felt like it was time that I worked with people in one capacity or another. So I went within and asked God to open a door, if that was the truth, if that was Him nudging. And somebody told me about an opening in a detox, a place where people went to get off drugs and alcohol. And so I went down there, but here's how it happened. The morning of the interview, I had no idea where it was. I mean, I knew the general vicinity, I knew the name of the place, I knew it was in a town called El Monte, but I didn't know where. So I started out and I took surface streets and went through Pasadena and South Pasadena on my way to El Monte. And when I came out at the end there, I was in El Monte on the main drag, and right in front of me, right in front of me was this place. And so I pulled up and walked in, and I was in time for the interview. I was on time. And that's the way this works. You have a fourth sense, or a sixth sense, I should say. You're living in the fourth dimension, and this sixth sense guides you. And you find yourself in the right place at the right time. There is no longer fear of the evils of the outer world, nor is there the intense pleasure in the happier things of the outer world. It is possible to have the pleasures of the world and enjoy them. Yes, I went to Hawaii in order to spend time with Herb Fitch, and I thoroughly enjoyed the beach at the hotel where I was and the quiet waves that came up to the shore. I enjoyed laying in a hammock with the sunshine and the trade winds blowing across my face. So yes, I was seeking spiritually, but I was enjoying the pleasurable things that were coming my way. So it is possible to have the pleasures of the world and enjoy them, or not to have them and not miss them. There is a constant joy within that needs no outside stimulus. All right, so now he's going to say, after you've been walking this path for a while, and you have established this constant awareness of a presence, in this consciousness, God is found to be the inner light. Or at least this light is felt as an emanation of God. God is felt as a divine presence or influence within. It is felt by those who come in contact with the man who has found this inner self. It is reflected in his health and success. It radiates from him as sunbeams radiate from the sun. Now, those people I have met that knew Joel Goldsmith tell me that they felt love radiate from him. Now, we know that God is love. And so if you feel God or God's presence, you're going to feel that love. And that's what radiates from the person who finds this inner self. In finding his inner life, this man has found peace, joy, harmony, security, even in the midst of a failing world, he stands unmoved, untouched, the very presence of immortal being. Now that reminds me of the couple that during the Second World War, as the bombs were falling in England, they, rather than being huddled in some corner somewhere, they were out walking the streets to see who they could help. And the bombs never touched them. When you are given a mission, and you know it's come from within, not from your mind, but from within, then you can be assured that your way is protected. It's secured. Those that do the will of God are really the hand of God reaching right out to this world. And nothing can delay or prohibit the success. When we are no longer limited by five physical senses and have attained even a measure of spiritual sense or spiritual discernment or Christ consciousness, we find ourselves unlimited. So Paul tells us that the natural man, the five physical senses, cannot receive the things of God, the thoughts of God, the mission of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, because these things don't come through the five senses, but rather they are spiritually discerned. Now you have spiritual discernment, I have it. But did you know that spiritual discernment is Christ consciousness? Because that's what he just said. We are no longer limited by five physical senses. We have attained a measure of spiritual discernment or Christ consciousness. We find ourselves unlimited in terms of here or there, now or hereafter. There is a going in and a coming out without sense of time or space, an unfoldment without degree, a realization without an object. A realization without an object. I looked at that one time and I tried different things. A love without an object. A spiritual mission without an object. A word of God without an object. A realization without an object. Again, in this consciousness, after you've become established, finite sense disappears. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, it disappears. Not forever, but while you're in this consciousness. And the vision is without boundaries. Life is seen and understood as unfettered form and limitless beauty. Even the wisdom of the ages is encompassed in a moment. Wow, that's something, isn't it? But when I went up to Northern California to Avila Beach, and I sat in a class of Herb Fitch's called Healing Outside of Time, well, that's exactly what happened. I experienced unfettered form, limitless beauty. I experienced the wisdom of the ages. Death disappears, and once more we see those previously separated from us by the so-called impassable barrier. This communion is not the communication of spiritualism, so it's not sitting around a Ouija board or an occult table holding hands and waiting to communicate with Uncle Harry. This is an awareness of eternal life untouched by death. He has a lot of that in his writing. Untouched. A universe untouched by mortal thought. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. A world untouched by mortal thought. And that's what we see. when we step out of that mortal thought and into this consciousness. In this consciousness, death disappears. It is the reality of immortality seen and understood. It is a vision of life without beginning and with no end. It is reality brought to light. In this consciousness, that's the third time, in this consciousness, there are no physical barriers of time and space. The vision encompasses the universe. It bridges time and eternity. It includes all being. Yes, and I knew my inner self because I was sitting in it, resting in it, standing in it. I knew it to be everyone and everything. In any direction that I looked, I could feel myself in that tree. I could feel that tree within myself. I could feel that dog inside, and I could feel myself on that dog's face. I looked at people and I could feel my face on theirs and their face on mine. I looked at the ocean and I could feel the entire Pacific Ocean in myself and myself in the ocean. Now I looked at the road, asphalt road, and the cars parked along the buildings. I could feel myself in that, and that in myself. There were no lines. I was in all, and all was in I. I and the Father were one, consciously. And so whereas I've started with just feeling this presence close by, eventually I felt that presence within. And then I felt myself as that presence. And it happened several times over the years. One time I got up in the middle of the night and the word came, meditate. So I went out to the living room, sat on the couch, and started with something like, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. And suddenly I felt that presence touch me on the side of the arm. But it was in the arm, too, outside and inside, and it was tingling. Well, then I felt it move down my leg, and my whole left side was that presence. And then it started on the right, and my whole left side and my whole right side were that presence. And then it filled my entire body. My entire body was that tingling presence. And then it filled the room I was in. I was the entire room. And the entire room was in I. And then it filled the house. I could feel myself everywhere in the house, and everywhere in the house in myself. And I knew it was going to go infinite. So I backed away a little bit and opened my eyes and got up and walked around. Another time I was sound asleep and I had a dream. And there was an old wise man sitting next to me. He had long silver hair, and he had a long silver beard and a long silver robe. And he said to me, I want you to feel life's energy. So he said, close your eyes, and I did. And he said, now breathe in through your nose, and I did. And from everywhere in the universe, I felt pure white light flowing into me. Wham! It shocked me awake in the middle of the night. But I knew. Life's energy is everywhere. It's omnipresent. And we can tap into it. So, he says, in this light, this consciousness, we see without the eye. We hear without the ear. We understand things not known before. Where we are, God is, because there is no longer separation or division. Here there are no rewards and no punishments. Harmony is. And really, that's something that until you experience it, you may not believe it. But in that consciousness, rewards and punishments are ridiculous. The idea is silly. There are no rewards or punishments. There is harmony of being, your being. Life is not dependent on processes. We do not live by bread alone. Now, this was my experience. I have the sense of peeking into heaven and seeing what mortal eyes were not meant to see. Spiritual sense or spiritual discernment is not engaged with human good. Yet this Christ consciousness reveals the harmony of being and what appears as our human experiences and in forms available to our present circumstance. Yes, the added things really are added. And so not only do you have this feeling of a presence walking with you, feeling of a presence walking within you, feeling of a presence walking as you, and you walking in this presence, but all of these things are added. You have health, you have supply, you have companionship, you have some of the pleasures of the world. This is the way to go, folks. Now, when you're in this experience, if you had turned on the news and seen where this war is continuing in the Ukraine and in Russia, you would know my presence is there. And that knowing is praying for the situation. Realization is prayer. So your constant awareness means you're praying without ceasing. What do you know? Though my kingdom is not of this world, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, and he supplies your needs even before you ask. I know it says once, but I don't like that. He supplies your needs even without asking. And the two go together. Spiritual experience and the added things. They go together. Realization is demonstration, is one way that Joel has said that. I've shared some things with you today about my path because I want you to see that anyone hearing these words can have a spiritual experience. Anyone. And I want you to see I'm nothing special. I of myself am nothing at all. But I in my inner self am the living presence of God. All you have to do, pick up this book that we're studying, read it a paragraph at a time. If something hits you, set the book down and meditate. Go within. Contemplate. Let's see. We'll just open it anywhere. In his holy temple, which is our consciousness, in the secret place of the Most High, which is the Holy of Holies, which is our very own inner consciousness, we receive illumination. Ah, my consciousness is the Holy of Holies. My consciousness. Consciousness is your conscious awareness. My conscious awareness of the presence within is the Holy of Holies. It is the secret place of the Most High. This is the womb of creation. In here we receive the Word of God. Now, the Word of God may just be a feeling of this presence. It may be an actual word. Be not afraid. I am with you. But this is the place where when you receive the word, you become the expression of God. Because to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, the expression, the manifestation, the creation of God. What is there to do but rest? Thank you, Father. Thank you. So you see, any paragraph will do if it leads you back within and you find that resting place, that place of rest. Rest from words, rest from thoughts. Just rest in my presence. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat. Body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. Now here we have crows. A lot of crows. And you see them in the morning. Day after you've mowed the grass, the crows are out there finding breakfast. Consider the ravens, or the crows. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? This is Christ consciousness within you, speaking to you. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Yes. Why should we take thought at all? The direction is, take no thought. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Here right now we have what is called jonquils or daffodils, letting us know that spring has arrived. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Why? Why was Solomon in all his glory not arrayed like a lily or a jonquil? Because they don't toil. And yet their beauty shines forth. Their consciousness of beauty shines forth. You want to shine forth like that? You must learn how to live and take no thought. Then that inner beauty, that wonderful presence, will shine forth. People will think it's you, but you'll know better. You'll know it's I. It's not me, it's I. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You think it's your responsibility to clothe yourself and your family. But it's not. It's not. Consciousness will clothe itself. And anyone that touches this consciousness and takes no thought will be clothed. And seek not ye what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Oh my God, how am I going to buy groceries this month with all the prices going up and all the tariffs flying around? You're not. But God is. If you stand a little to the side and bear witness, you will see God provide for you like you've never been provided for before. When you were trying to do it. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He knows it. Rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, begin to go within. Contemplate the paragraphs in this book. Stop when something calls to you. Set the book down and take it into your contemplation, which will lead you to meditation, in which you pause, you rest, and you listen, but you take no thought. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the womb of creation, out of which will flow all of your needs answered. Let us be still. It's a wonderful way to live. There are so many joys and so many feelings of fulfillment as this presence walks in you, walks through you, walks as you. When you know, really know, that I within you, that presence within you, and you invite it. Presence, you live your life. I'm a beholder. I will bear witness to you. And then be still. Be still and behold, I will live you. And I have come that you might have life, eternal, abundant, immortal life. Behold, I will never, ever, ever leave you. Once you have the conscious awareness of my presence, you walk with me forever. And what a wonderful thing to know we are never alone again. Often I am by myself, but I am never, ever alone. You have been invited to the supper. It is said, eat this and remember my body. But when you remember the body of Christ, it's the omnipresent body. Eat this and remember omnipresence. Drink this and remember my blood. But the blood is the spirit. Remember omnipresence. Remember spirit. Spiritual omnipresence. Do that this Easter and see how it changes you forever. Spiritual omnipresence I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Take, eat, take, drink. It is I, spiritual omnipresence. Let this presence be resurrected within you. Lift it out of the tomb of thought. And then, as the new man, the new creature, walk without seeking. Walk without words, without thoughts. I give you spiritual omnipresence, and all of the pleasures are added. Join me in this heavenly feast. Take, eat, take, drink. I am here.